is you, RN.
Hello, and welcome back to Wednesday's edition of The Pulse. We're going to go straight over to Ali now, who's got our national story.
Yes, and it's been a very big and, I think it's fair to say, at least in this room, quite a surprising story, not something that we expected to be talking about today. The resignation of the leader of the Scottish National Party, one Nicola Sturgeon, one of the leading politicians of the last decade, I think it's fair to say. She rose to prominence, I believe. She became the member, the leader of the SNP in 2016, and since then has been a champion, obviously, of Scottish independence. But today she's announced that she is stepping down. She said that she is stepping down for personal reasons, her quote being, "I'm not expecting violins here, but I am a human being as well as a politician. These jobs are a privilege, but they are also rightly hard." It has arguably been a difficult period of time for Nicola Sturgeon. There are contrasting views throughout the country on her decision to reform, or attempt to reform, as it has turned out, gender recognition laws in Scotland. And as a result, her approval ratings have taken a hit, alongside problems with healthcare, rising prices. Of course, that is something that we've been feeling across the UK, but her popularity has taken a hit as well as everyone else's. That being said, she was still far more popular than the likes of Rishi Sunak and even Keir Starmer. So it's been a shock decision, and it leaves the Scottish National Party and the Scottish independence movement in general in a bit of a state of flux. So it's been a very exciting day in Scottish politics, and I'm fascinated to hear what you all have to say on it.
You know, we were discussing this on the Roundtable podcast quite recently. Do tune into that on your own website if you're interested. We're just saying, what could have caused this? Because on one hand, obviously, you've got the, you know, definitely more recently, the gender recognition laws and the Article 35 that was used against them to block the bill from the Westminster government.
That's the one.
And then equally, you have had like the legal battle over trying to have another independence referendum, and also, you know, in terms of reasons, she's just been around for ages, and that must get really, really, really exhausting, especially, you know, as a woman in power. You know, and getting attacked from the press, especially with a lot of the, especially like recent, like the stuff about the gender recognition reforms. I think it was unexpected, certainly, but not unexpected when it happened. But, you know, when you further look into it, I can definitely see, I can totally realise why someone would want to call time now.
There have been comparisons drawn, and maybe there's an argument of a degree of sexism, both in this assertion that there is similarities and in the political climate more in general. There have been comparisons with the resignation under similar, citing similar at least, personal issues of the New Zealand Prime Minister, or the former New Zealand Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern. I'm interested to think if, does the panel think that politics in general has a bit of a problem with, you know, abuse potentially of a discriminatory nature, in this case based on someone's gender, in other cases based on someone's, I don't know, sexuality, race, the list goes on?
I mean, I definitely do think that there's a problem, particularly in the sense that I just think that there's just greater scrutiny. I mean, I think Nicola Sturgeon's done an amazing job, and so did Jacinda Ardern, to be fair, for so many years. Like, they're really, you know, that they've sort of been politics, they've been, I mean, not that Nicola Sturgeon's exactly leaving, but they've been in politics for a very long time, and I think they've done an incredible job. But we know the kind of vitriolic abuse that women in politics receive, and I think particularly they're just expected, there's a higher standard that's constantly expected of them, and anytime anything sort of doesn't work out in their way, you know, it's they just receive a lot more abuse, I think. But so I can understand that. I don't know exactly what was going on with Nicola. Like, there may be just other personal things going on in her life, but yeah, I think it's not probably easy to be a woman at that level in politics.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think
it's not a coincidence at all that her and Jacinda Ardern, both people who a lot of the tabloid papers are not fond of at all, have stepped down for similar reasons. I think, in my opinion, there is a awful discrepancy in how female leaders are covered versus male leaders. And you see that all the time. You saw it with Sanna Marin, the Finnish PM, who was went to a party and wore a dress to a party and was covered by most of the tabloid newspapers as if she was some kind of prostitute. Whereas if Boris had done that, it would be, oh, isn't he such a lad? But I think there's an awful discrepancy. And with Angela Rayner last year about, is she trying to like, distract Boris Johnson by wearing a skirt to Prime Minister's questions? Like, I think the double standard and the unequal abuse that female politicians in frontline politics gets, it was probably a major reason for why Nicola Sturgeon has stepped down. She's been First Minister, she has been First Minister for coming on 10 years now. She was put in 2014 after the referendum, I think. So you can't discount the fact that these politicians do have lives. Not every politician is out for ultimate power. And then you combine with the fact that there have been difficulties recently over the Gender Recognition Act and independence. It's no surprise, in hindsight, that she is too much for her, in my view. Or that's the wrong way of saying it, that she's had enough.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, I don't know, the amount of time spent in politics, because even before that, like, she was deputy from, like, 2008, I want to say. I think, yeah, because she was deputy leader of the SNP for quite a bit before being made leader in 2014. So, you know, once you've been around the same sort of big cause for, you know, for ages and you're getting sort of constant attacks from the press and you're, you know, facing various other bits of, you know, roadblocks when it comes to trying to get that main policy through, then I think, you know, by that point, I'm not going to blame you if you sort of say, I think it's time for someone else to take over now. You know, it just seems so stressful. But in the wider question of whether politics has an issue, I definitely agree, and I think regarding the Finnish like Prime Minister, that made its way to media over here.
Yes.
I remember.
Yeah, it was front of the Mail.
It was also a stick to beat Jacinda Ardern with as well, because I think that they were associated in some ways, if I'm remembering correctly. Yeah. So it turned into a wider, you know, to put it bluntly, look at all these women, essentially, and the crime was being female.
Yeah, and also it's interesting because if you compare Sanna Marin and Hillary Clinton, who famously was not tried to present herself as very work orientated, and she was portrayed as not being any fun, probably being up to corruption and scandals because she wouldn't do she wouldn't go to a party in a dress. And then Sanna Marin did, and it was, oh well, she's probably a drug-addled prostitute. It's like there's no, you can't win as a woman in frontline politics. Like if the media is always going to hammer you in some way.
I mean, the only real notable woman but the most notable female politician you can think of who sort of was somewhat impervious to that is, of course, Margaret Thatcher. And a lot of that was due to the sort of Iron Lady persona. But the fact is, like, to be a successful woman in politics, you shouldn't... this is something you won't necessarily hear me say often, but fair play to Margaret Thatcher. If you're going to, if that is the way that you're going to present yourself, go for it. But you shouldn't have to. It shouldn't have to be the case where you have to be this completely stoic, unflinching, will not be moved, the lady is not for turning type. I guess traditional femininity, and obviously there's a lot of question marks over to what that means, but that shouldn't be seen as a weakness in politics. And the fact that it appears to be jumped upon and tried to convert into a weakness by both, I guess, the tabloids, but also just people on the internet, I guess that's a sort of underrepresented part of this conversation, just sexists on the internet who are sort of continuing these tropes. And it, the more that we, and I know this word gets overused, but the more that we normalize, you know, all types of people in politics, you know, the more we're likely to get a politics that is actually reflective of the public that it supposedly represents.
I agree. I also think things like for Jacinda Ardern, she has young children, I believe. I don't know what the situation is for the other politicians. I imagine Nicola Sturgeon doesn't have young children still. But, you know, that's, you also see women get criticised over things like life, work balance and things like that. Equally, I think Theresa May doesn't have children, and that was considered a great source of controversy. So it doesn't actually matter what you do. Like, you can't win. And similarly, like, building on the point that you were making, Ali, like, I completely agree that you can't really win as a woman in politics. You're either sort of too cold-hearted and too masculine, or you're not masculine enough for politics, because it's considered good to be completely unemotional in politics, which I don't think that it is, but that's generally the perception.
Like, yeah, I think, again, it's just yet another indicator of, like, certainly how, like, toxic, like, politics just generally is currently. And, you know, who knows if it, you know, as you're saying, you know, there's a whole variety of reasons why Nicola Sturgeon may have decided to step down. But, you know, it would be very silly to completely, to rule that out at all. And, I don't know, and if it was, then the fact that people are still needing to, like, leave it because of that is absolutely awful. Because you want, you know, you do want your enthusiastic people that get stuff done in politics. And it also creates a really negative perception for anybody wanting to come into it. I mean, expanding back to, like, a more general point regarding regarding Scotland, what going forward regarding devolution, you know, and just the balance of the political parties in Scotland generally, do you think Nicola Sturgeon stepping down will maybe cause some amount of reevaluation with the Scottish public as to who they want in charge?
I mean, I do think it's quite a big blow to the cause. Like, I think that she was quite a rallying, that she was good at galvanising people. So I think that's not great. But she does say that she's still going to be working to try and do that. So, I mean, I guess we'll just have to see. But, yeah, I don't think it's good for the Scottish independence movement.
It will be very interesting to see who they have next. The parliamentary leader of the SNP, Stephen Flynn, has already ruled himself out the race. The BBC are promoting quite a lot of, are giving quite a lot of options. Angus Robertson, the former parliamentary leader of the SNP, as well as Joanna Cherry, who's a prominent SNP MP. There are other Scottish parliamentarians who are cited. John Swinney, who is the Deputy First Minister.
And previous leader.
Previous leader, pre-Alex Salmond, even.
Yeah.
Various others who I must admit, as a non-Scot, I'm not actually familiar with sufficiently to comment, but the fact that there are so many candidates, we do have to remember that Sturgeon, when coming in post the no vote in 2014 for the Scottish independence, she was the only candidate, and it was relatively obvious that she was going to be the one who was going to be the successor to Alex Salmond. So to see how, you know, long this long list is, and to see how there's really no obvious favourite, it kind of goes to show how big a void that she is leaving and how big shoes the next leader has to fill.
Yeah, the Telegraph, who obviously not an unbiased news source, are saying the most likely contender is a lady called Kate Forbes, who I believe was the previous, or is the equivalent of Chancellor in Holyrood, but is on maternity leave at the moment, who is from a devout Christian denomination, which they think would cause problems for the continuation of the Gender Recognition Act.
There are certainly questions regarding that. Joanna Cherry has been a vocal critic of,
yeah,
of this. I'm not sure on... But it's a kind of a interesting sort of subplot within the SNP, in that while it's generally thought as a centre-left party, under the umbrella of Scottish independence, there are views across the political scale. So depending on who gets in can really shape the party to whatever they want. You've got to think, if you're talking about the Labour Party or the Conservative Party, you pretty much have to operate somewhere, for the Tories, for example, you have to operate somewhere between the centre-right and the far-right, whereas the SNP have far more scope of the political scale and can in some way be influenced. Now, how that would reflect on voters if they went in whatever combination of directions they could go in. We're yet to find out, but it is certainly something to consider.
Yeah, definitely. It's just I remember having this discussion earlier, and I think certainly when you look at, you know, Alex Salmond's failed attempt to maybe have a more, maybe a potentially like less left-wing independence party under Alba, obviously massive success. Remember that, guys? Yeah.
Well, they still have MPs.
Yeah, but all of them were defections.
Well, they still have MPs.
Well, yeah. To be fair, I think the party was only set up a year or two ago, so there hasn't actually been an election to see what their support level is. But no, you're right, they're not doing very well in the polling.
Yeah.
And also, to your point, prior to Alex Salmond, the SNP was a very, relative to what they are now, right-wing party. They were called the Scottish Conservatives, and then Salmond came in and changed that and made a great success of it. But you imagine those people who are want to leave Scotland but are otherwise on the right are still with the SNP, and what do they do now? Do they have a chance to retake the leadership? So it is interesting. It's an open question, I think. No one's really sure what's going to happen.
Certainly, yeah.